in the evening services, we are taking a look at some characters in the Old Testament and at the example that they might set to us. Tonight our focus is on Elijah, and Hannah is going to come and read to us from 1 Kings 19.
So 1 Kings 19, starting at verse 1. King Ahab told his wife Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had put all the prophets of Baal to death. She sent a message to Elijah: "May the gods strike me dead if by this time tomorrow I don't do the same thing to you that you did to the prophets." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He took his servant and went to Beersheba in Judah. Leaving the servant there, Elijah walked a whole day into the wilderness. He stopped and sat down in the shade of a tree and wished he would die. "It's too much, Lord," he prayed. "Take away my life. I might as well be dead." He lay down under the tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said, "Wake up and eat." He looked around and saw a loaf of bread and a jar of water near his head. He ate and drank and lay down again. The Lord's angel returned and woke him up a second time, saying, "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you." Elijah got up, ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to walk 40 days to Sinai, the holy mountain. There he went into a cave to spend the night. Suddenly the Lord spoke to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He answered, "Lord God Almighty, I have always served you, you alone, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars and killed all your prophets. I am the only one left and they are trying to kill me." "Go out and stand before me on top of the mountain," the Lord said to him. Then the Lord passed by and sent a furious wind that split the hills and shattered the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. The wind stopped blowing, and then there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire there was the soft whisper of a voice. When Elijah heard it, he covered his face with his cloak, went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. A voice said to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He answered, "Lord God Almighty, I have always served you, you alone, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars and killed all your prophets. I am the only one left and they are trying to kill me." The Lord said, "Return to the wilderness near Damascus, then enter the city and anoint Hazael as king of Syria. Anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Anyone who escapes being put to death by Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and anyone who escapes Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will leave 7,000 people alive in Israel, all those who are loyal to me and have not bowed to Baal or kissed his idol."
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you so much for your word to us. We pray this evening that you will inspire us, comfort us, challenge us, encourage us through your word. We pray that you will help us to listen and to hear all that your Spirit wants to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I have to say that Elijah is one of my favourite people in the Bible, because Elijah shows us real life in its highs and in its lows. I love the fact that the Bible doesn't just portray the miraculous stories, but it also shows how people struggle, how they cope, or even perhaps how they don't cope with some of the challenges that they face. For me, that is what authentic Christianity is all about. And one of the people who always brings me encouragement is Elijah through this story. Let me remind you of the events that had just taken place before we joined Elijah in chapter 19. Elijah was a prophet, and he predicted a great drought on the land surrounding them. And he went to King Ahab, inspired by God, and said, that there's going to be a drought. Ahab was the king of Israel, but Ahab hadn't been faithful to God as the king. In fact, Ahab had married Jezebel and had joined with her in worshipping Baal and Asherah, and had even managed to build temples to these other gods. Now, led by God, during this time of drought, Elijah set up a contest with King Ahab and the prophets of Baal so that the power of God would be seen. And an amazing miracle took place. And if you don't know what happened, I encourage you to go home and read 1 Kings, the couple of chapters before chapter 19, and see all that happened. It was incredible. And at the end of that event, all of the people declared that the Lord alone is God. And Elijah ordered all of the prophets of Baal to be taken away, to be killed. And shortly afterwards, the rain arrived, bringing an end to the drought. Having just seen the power of God displayed in front of the prophets of Baal, I can only imagine how elated Elijah must have felt. God had shown his power amazingly. God had done that through Elijah. And yet, this amazing spiritual high was swiftly followed by a massive low, because straight afterwards he hears the fact that Jezebel is after him, and he runs in fear for his life. Where was Elijah's faith at that moment? He'd just seen the power of God displayed in a miraculous way. Surely the God that did these miracles could protect him from the threats that Jezebel had made on his life. Where was Elijah's trust in God at that moment in time? These events remind me of the fact that following God isn't always easy. Yes, we can say that we trust in God. Yes, we can know in our heads how great he is. Yes, we may have experienced amazing miracles. And yet, we can still find it hard to have faith and to keep serving, especially when we come up against a really hard time. And in a way, I find it encouraging hearing about what Elijah did. Because if Elijah struggled, having just witnessed that great miracle, then I don't need to feel guilty about my own struggles. But hopefully, through looking at Elijah, we can learn something from him that will help us through those difficult times. Let's be honest, Elijah wasn't just a little bit fed up. He wasn't just having a little bit of a wobbly day. He was stressed. This letter was a serious threat to his life. He was depressed. He'd been through so much, and he'd had enough. He couldn't take any more. Above all, he was burnt out. Now, burnout is the type of stress, emotional fatigue, frustration, and exhaustion that hits us when a series of events fail to produce a result. Now, those events might be to do with a way of life, they might be to do with a job, a relationship, might be to do with mission. For Elijah, having put himself out on the front line in front of all of the prophets of Baal in order for God's power to be seen, I would imagine a death threat was the last thing he expected. God had used him in amazing ways. Wouldn't that lead to his life being greatly blessed? And suddenly the stress that he is under leads to a huge loss of perspective. Elijah forgets the fact that Obadiah was one of 100 prophets. He forgets the fact that all the people on Mount Carmel had just confessed that the Lord was God. And instead, he feels like he's the only one left trying to be faithful to God, and he wants to give up. In verse 9, we heard the Lord spoke to him saying, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And he said, "Lord God Almighty, I've always served you, you alone. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, killed all your prophets. I am the only one left, and they're trying to kill me. Clearly, he'd had enough, hadn't he? But Elijah's experiences are not unique. Many Christians today have faced stress, depression, and burnout. I don't think it's a lack of faith or a sign that you're not living closely with God. Sometimes, as with Elijah, burnout can even follow an amazing encounter with God. And then suddenly it feels like you're in the wilderness. You feel isolated. You feel alone. You feel lacking in energy. Sometimes it can be due to a culmination of events. Times of stress, times of disappointment, being in a situation that leaves us fearful for some reason. And in those moments, like Elijah, we can easily lose perspective. The problems seem bigger than we can bear, and it's hard to find anything good to focus on. Life can seem very unfair. Maybe, like Elijah, it feels like we're the only ones who've been faithful to God, and yet we're the ones that are suffering, and everyone else seems to be okay. We can lose our focus. We might even feel angry or even disappointed with God because things haven't turned out the way that we thought that they would. And all of these things get on top of us and combine, leaving us feeling like we just can't go on anymore. That was how Elijah felt. So what can we learn from him this evening? The first thing I want us to know is that God provided for Elijah. In verse 5, we heard Elijah lay down under a tree and fell asleep. And suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Wake up and eat." He looked around and saw a loaf of bread and a jar of water near his head. He ate and drank, and he lay down again. Now, it's appropriate to think of God's provision to us today as we're celebrating harvest. And so often we can take for granted the basic provisions of water and food. And these things are important whatever is happening in our life. But I think it's really interesting that God sent an angel to provide for Elijah in this way. Interestingly, God didn't provide by taking away the threat to Elijah's life. I think that's what I'd have been looking for from God. A message to say that something had happened to Jezebel and she wasn't after me anymore. That's not what God did. God's provision was simple. He gave Elijah food and water. When we're stressed, depressed, exhausted, burnt out, sometimes the first thing that we need is a simple necessity. It might be that we need sleep. Sometimes it might be that we need support or company that comes through friendship. And perhaps because that provision is something simple, which doesn't necessarily take the challenge or the problem away from us, that provision can be hard to recognise. So tonight, I want to say, if this is how you're feeling, or maybe how you felt before, and probably will again at some point, I want to encourage you to begin by looking at the simple way that God meets some of our needs. And as you recognise them, to accept them and to acknowledge God for them. It's interesting to note that for Elijah, the food and the water didn't change his circumstances. He was still in the wilderness, still on the run from Jezebel. Nor did the food and water change how he felt. When God asked him what he was doing there, he still felt isolated and alone. He felt he was the only one left. But he still ate the food, drank the water, and gain some energy in that time. And simple things like eating and sleeping are so important when we feel run down like this. If it's a struggle, Maybe having the opportunity to eat with some friends would help, or just spending time in somebody else's company while they do normal things together, like reading or watching TV. You see, I know for myself, I find it hard to relax on my own. I could watch a movie that I really, really love, but not enjoy it because I'm sitting watching it on my own. I could watch the worst movie in the world and have a great time just because I'm with some friends. So I want to encourage you as well to watch out for the signs that you are stressed and to recognise the simple provision that you've received, but also to watch out for others around you. Because there may be people that you know, people that you see here on a Sunday evening, who are going through a time of struggle and might just appreciate the offer of support and hospitality. There was a time once when I was hugely stressed and everything else seemed much more complicated because as well as being stressed and exhausted and worn out, I was single. And I couldn't relax well and I couldn't eat well because I found it hard to do that on my own. And I can't emphasise enough how grateful I was for friends who invited me just to chill with their family or with them as a couple and who shared a meal with me. It was nothing special. They just did what they were always doing every evening. They just let me be part of it. But that simple provision was just what I needed. And sometimes we think we have to do something amazing to solve people's problems. But sometimes the simple things of friendship and hospitality are all that someone needs. Anyway, let's get back to Elijah. As well as seeing God's provision for him, we learned that God met with him. God met Elijah where he was. And then he said to him, "Go out onto the top of the mountain." Interestingly, there was this run of events happening. There was a strong wind, there was an earthquake, there wasn't a fire. And yet Elijah didn't go anywhere. So all of those things, he stayed in the cave. Why was that? Was it because things were so bad he just wanted to rebel? God had said go out onto the top of the mountain and Elijah stayed where he was. Now I don't know if that's true, but I've got to say, if that's what he was doing, there are times in my life when I know how he felt. The Bible says that as the wind came and the earthquake came and the fire came, God wasn't in them. Although I have to say, I don't think God was completely absent either. Interestingly, the Bible doesn't say that God was in the still small voice. I think when we read that story, we often assume that all of these amazing things happened and then there was this whisper of a voice and it must be God's voice. But that actually isn't what the reading says. But there was a soft whisper. And after that, Elijah got up, went out of the cave, and God said to him again, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And Elijah's response is something again that encourages me. Because the encounter with God still didn't change things for Elijah. He still said exactly the same thing as he'd said when God asked him the question before. The important thing to notice is that Elijah didn't stay hidden from God, and he was honest about how he felt. I really think at those times when you feel stressed and exhausted or burnt out, it's easy, like Elijah, to run. And in running, to run from God. Yet running from God doesn't take away the stress. Running from God probably won't change your circumstances. And in most cases, God is the only one who can help. Now, perhaps we might not be like Elijah. We might not hear a voice, the voice of God, asking us a question. But we can still encounter God honestly, telling him how we feel, being real about our disappointments and our frustrations, allowing him space to meet with us. So before we look at the final point I'd like us to learn from Elijah, I'd like us to have a few moments to do just that. Sometimes in our evening services, we stop and we throw out a question and we bounce the question around between us. But I didn't think that tonight that was appropriate. What I'd like us to do is to take a few minutes to reflect on the last 2 points. I would like to encourage you to use that time to firstly think about the ways that God provides for us, and in the silence, to thank him. But I'd also like you to use that time to rest in God's presence. And if you feel that it's appropriate for you in the silence to speak to God, to have a real heart-to-heart about how you feel, or to say, God, I want to hear what you're saying to me, to let him speak. As we do that, we're going to listen to what is probably a familiar hymn to many of you, but it's a slightly different version, and it's one where the words fit beautifully with this passage. So we're going to listen to the hymn, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, and I'd just like you to reflect on the words of the song and to think about those things, and in the quiet to make your prayer to God, and then we'll finish the sermon in a few minutes. Thanks, Dan. Recognise that there are times for all of us when we feel stressed, when we feel exhausted, when we feel so low that we can't carry on. And Lord, for those of us that are feeling like that tonight, I pray that you will help us to recognise your provision to us. And I pray you will help us to be honest with you about our pain and our disappointment and our frustration, and to hear you, whether it be through the wind, through the fire, through the still small voice, to hear you speak to us. And Lord, for those of us that have been through those times, I pray you will help us to be sensitive to the needs and the struggles of others, and to recognise where we can offer help and support and friendship, and to be the angels that provide for them and help them to stay close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. When Elijah had finished telling God how he felt, God's response was again quite surprising, because God gave him fresh instructions and a new direction. Elijah had wanted to give up. He was a prophet of God and he didn't want to be a prophet anymore. Now, not only was God still with him, but God still had plans for him. And in verse 15 we heard the Lord said, "Return to the wilderness near Damascus. Then enter the city and anoint Hazael as king of Syria. Anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king of Israel. Anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet." What God did was to recommission Elijah and to give him a new sense of purpose. And quite often, when we're stressed and when we're burnt out, it is a purpose that helps to lift our eyes up and gives us the energy to keep going. That's what got Elijah out of the place he was in. That was what refocused him. God didn't say, "Jezebel is no more, you don't need to be afraid." God gave him fresh instructions. So I want to close by giving you a challenge and asking you, do you know the plan and the purpose that God has for your life? If you do, are you focused? Are you in the right place to accomplish that plan? If you don't, maybe this week could be the week that you could spend time with God every day, asking him to reveal his plan for your life. I think as Christians, we all have a similar plan in some ways, because we're all called to bring in God's kingdom, to live by his values, to show his love. And yet for each of us individually, there is a special plan, a purpose that only we can fulfill, which meets our characteristics, our gifts, our strength. And it's the combination of those two things that helps us to focus and gives us energy when things are hard. So I encourage you in the week ahead to think about these things and to spend time with God, asking him what he wants you to do throughout your life. Our closing song.